Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, so today should be a great show. I'm excited for this. So we've got Steve Noble, who's a legend in his own mind. We have Jay Vavirko with Triangle FCA, who's not a legend in anybody's mind. Nope. Except maybe your wife and your kids.
Perhaps, yeah.
Perhaps. And then we actually have a true living legend, and that's Mr. Phil Ford. He was number 12. Just an incredible career in basketball. Named one of ACC's top 10 male athletes in history. First team All-America in 1976, 77, and 78. Were you alive then, Jay? Don't even answer. Just don't answer
that's
the question.
That's him. I'm Jay. This is Phil.
Yeah. Jay, ACC Player of the Year in 1978, National Player of the Year in 78, Olympic gold medalist in 76. That's pretty awesome. NBA Rookie of the Year in 1979 with the Kansas City Kings. Spent 12 years as a Tar Heel assistant coach, leading UNC to six Final Four appearances, and inducted into the NABC College Basketball Hall of Fame in 2012, and that would be none other than Mr. Phil Ford. Phil, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Great. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. And so we're going to be talking about FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, kind of at a global level. Then we'll talk about it here in North Carolina, and specifically here at a local level. And Jay is the Triangle Metro Area Director of FCA here in the Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill area. And they've got a big event, their Triangle Fall event, which is always big, over 1,000 people there. It's awesome. I was there last year. Unfortunately, not going to be able to get there next week. But that's coming up next Tuesday, November 12th, 6:30 p.m., the Expo Building at the North Carolina State Fairgrounds. And Phil Ford is going to be sharing his testimony and some other things. We'll unpack a bunch of his story today during the show. But Jay, great to see you again. Thanks for being here. So tell us a little about just FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, kind of in general, kind of the global history of it
all. Sure. Thanks for having us back on. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
FCA has just celebrated 65 years of ministry, started a long time ago by a gentleman named Don McLennan, old basketball coach who began to see the influence that athletes and coaches were having in our culture, and found it advantageous to say, what would that look like for coaches and athletes to proclaim the gospel and bring influence through the gospel? And so started real small as a lot of ways as a camp ministry, and eventually kind of grew into a campus ministry. So we do a number of summer camps. We're on middle schools, high schools, and colleges across the world. We're in over 40 countries now. And we're not only on campus, we're off campus. So that travel baseball league, that Pop Warner football league, that club volleyball league, we have FCA presence in all of those types of leagues through coaches' Bible studies, through athlete Bible studies. We have a number of resources that we make available.
Yeah.
So just across the board, trying to lead every coach and athlete into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ and his church.
And, of course, around here in the Triangle area, and this is true in the various states around the country where FCA operates, people are used to kind of the Friday morning thing on campus at high school. So is that what we call a huddle group? Is that what that is?
That would be what we call a multi-sport huddle. We have three types of huddle. Multi-sport is that club that most folks are familiar with. Anyone in the school is welcome to come to it. It does have an athletic focus to it. But then we also support a number of team huddles and coaches' huddles, and those are exactly what they sound like. A member of the soccer team wants to start a small group Bible study using some FCA resources with their teammates, and they gather before or after practice. Coach signs off on it. Or a group of coaches at a particular campus say, hey, why don't we get together 6 o'clock, 6:30 in the morning to study God's Word together, encourage one another in our faith.
Now, would you describe it as an outreach or an inreach or both?
It's both. Yeah, we certainly want student athletes to be encouraged and strengthened in their faith where they are on their school campus. But we also want to equip and empower them to engage their peers with the gospel. So it's a bit of a mission outpost. It's a way for the church to sort of get outside its four walls and be a light on the local school campus, on the field, in the locker room.
Yeah, and really meeting people where they're at and being there to love them well and provide discipleship and, of course, evangelistic opportunities. And then the summertime, there's camps all over the place. Is that
right? There are, yeah. North and South Carolina alone had about 30 summer camps last year between team camps, where teams from various schools and locations will go together. I direct our leadership camp, where we're developing young men and women into leaders. There are sports-specific camps where you go and take clinics, as well as the spiritual piece in your particular sport. So a large variety. Yeah. Carolina's FCACamps.org is our website to find out more about our camps.
Well, I've run into a lot of people, because FCA has been around for such a long time. I've run into a lot of people that got saved at the camps.
Yeah.
And went to the camps. A Christian, a believing friend, invited them, and then they went. And usually it was a sports-specific camp, which is great, because that's kind of your people. Phil, over here with legendary UNC player, as well as NBA player Phil Ford. Phil, how did you find out about FCA in the first place?
Well, I actually attended an FCA event when I was in college. I think it was in West Virginia. I went to a camp and actually spoke there. Didn't really stay, but I just spoke there. But I spoke more as a basketball player than as a Christian. So I've known about FCA ever since I was in college. But I guess you can say the last couple of years of my life is I've really gotten back involved with FCA.
Yeah, and we're gonna talk about your testimony, because you really came to faith, saving faith, not that long ago. I think you said it was like 2012.
Well, maybe a little later than that. You know, I was just sitting here thinking about it. You know, it was definitely, I moved back to Durham from Charlotte in 2011, and it has been since 2011.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. So we'll talk about that. But what was that like for you growing up as an athlete and playing high school ball? And the next thing you know, you're playing at UNC Chapel Hill, one of the premier basketball schools in the nation. And of course, you ended up in the NBA. But what was that kind of transition like, going from a young man to a college basketball player? What was that world like for you?
Well, it's to try to convert it down a little bit. I always wanted to go to North Carolina. I get into that story a little bit in my testimony, where I talk about a guy named Charlie Scott, who was the first African-American basketball player at North Carolina. And wow. I was going to a all-African-American junior high school then. So every little kid in J.W. Parker Junior High School was going to be Charlie Scott. When I got an opportunity to go there, it was a dream come true. I was playing terrible my first couple of games. I was playing so bad, a sports writer wrote this for it as an Edsel. You know, so.
Oh, man.
But it was just a dream come true to play at North Carolina, and then the opportunity to be in the pros, even a bigger dream come
true. Yeah, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about your time with Dean Smith, Coach Dean Smith, as a player and as an assistant coach at Chapel Hill. And then we'll get into Phil's testimony, and then we'll kind of broaden it out from there. What do we do? What kind of role can athletes have today, especially for the sake of the gospel? And that's why we're talking to our friends at FCA. Fellowship of Christian Athletes, their big fall event coming up on Tuesday, November 12th. We'll talk about that as well. We'll be right back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, today talking about athletes, and specifically the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, which is all over the country and, in fact, all around the world. Here in the Triangle area of North Carolina, they are particularly effective. I've known about FCA ever since I got here, going back over 20 years, and all the different schools and all the different ways that FCA encourages and intercepts young students at various levels. With the gospel, with discipleship, it's just an incredible organization. They've got their annual fall event coming up next week. That's Tuesday, November 12th, 6:30 p.m. at the Expo Building here in Raleigh, North Carolina. You know that if you live around here. That's the NC State Fairgrounds, where we all go and worship fried food. But in this case, we're going to be worshiping the Lord, so set aside the fried food
thing. 2 weeks ago, there was a giant pumpkin in that building.
But next week, it's going to be full of people there to support FCA, and they're also going to be hearing from our special guest today, Mr. Phil Ford, who's really a legend in basketball, both at the Chapel Hill level, NBA, just an exceptional career, but also spent time coaching. But you get to Chapel Hill, Phil, And you're playing under Coach Dean Smith. And so what was that like to transition from high school, where you said on the break, 3 years, junior high, three and undefeated. So you had a stellar career all through junior high and high school. But then you get to the big leagues, so to speak. What was that like to get to Chapel Hill and play with Coach Smith?
Well, it was a dream come true for me to play at North Carolina. That was my dream school growing up. Ever since Charlie Scott went there and I was in junior high school is where I wanted to go to school. And I remember going to North Carolina. I was a top 10 high school basketball player in the country. And Coach Smith told me that I may have to play JV when I got there. But I'll get into that next Tuesday night, too. But I wound up going there, and Luckily, I did start my first game. I was the first freshman to start his first game at North Carolina, and I probably shouldn't the way I was playing. But, you know, it was just academically, athletically, socially. I have a degree in business administration. It was just a dream come true all around for me to be at North Carolina. If I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't hesitate to go back and attend North Carolina.
Yeah. As you look back on it, is there anything that you would have done differently with those years there on campus?
Of course, yeah, but I get into it a little bit too in my talk. You know, I think I would have loved to have been more spiritual back then, but you know, if I was, I may not be where I am today.
True.
So thank God for where I am today, and you know, I don't try to look back and change too much in my life because that's what makes me. That's part of my story. But
that's right.
As I said, it was just a dream come true to play at North Carolina and to play for Coach Smith. You know, one day it's going to be kind of cool when my little grandbabies get a little older and I can sit them on my knee and talk to them a little bit and tell them about Coach Smith.
That's super cool. So what was it like to play underneath him? I mean, most of us know him from the outside looking in, a legendary coach, obviously. But for playing for the man, what was that like?
Well, you know, I guess you can say that my spiritual seed was kind of planted through him because he was extremely spiritual, and all of us knew that, but that's not something that he forced on us. You know, I never heard Coach Smith swear in my life.
Wow.
And I've been around him. If he was going to swear, we've been in some situations together that he probably would have sworn.
Yes, I'm sure.
But, you know, he was just really smart. I don't think many people realize how smart he was. He would have been a great banker or a great scientist or a great businessman, you know, because of how smart he was. But the way that he could communicate and get what he was thinking across to us as players and as coaches was, I think, what separated him. You know, he could take people in North Carolina. You hear people say the North Carolina system, but I don't think we had a system because, you know, I think we had a philosophy, because a philosophy kind of bends and gives a little bit. What Coach Smith would do is he would take each player on the roster's individual talent that we were going to have on the roster that year and come up with plays offensively and a scheme defensively that gave us a chance to win every game. And, you know, I think that's what separated him from a lot of the coaches there. Didn't matter who he had.
Yeah.
That he could come up with something to beat you.
That's fascinating. Did he offer you any advice when you were going to make the move into the NBA?
Not really. Then, you know, what he normally would do, you know, of course he wanted the best for us. And we already knew at North Carolina, we knew enough as far as basketball is concerned to be successful. But the main thing is, like what I used to tell people, if you take care of your body, you already know enough to be successful. So that's a big thing too.
Yeah. Now, what about the Olympics? So you went to the Olympics back in the day when we actually had college athletes going to the Olympics,
right,
as opposed to pulling our best NBA players.
And what a lot of people don't remember about 1976, and I get into this a little bit in my talk too. You guys going to make me give them a whole talk.
Please come next week.
well, you're not giving them anything, Phil, so they're going to have to come next week. TriangleFCA.org /fall banquet, by the way.
Come on.
In 1972 was the first basketball game that the United States had ever lost, and it was very controversial. The Soviet Union was allowed to take the ball out 3 or 4 times with very little time on the clock and make a long distance, a full court pass, and they finally converted it and laid it in. And that was also the Olympics that the Palestinian rebels stormed the Olympic Village and killed the Jewish athletes.
Yep.
So in 1976, you know, we were playing from second. We weren't playing from first anymore.
And it was the bicentennial celebration for the country
it was,
you represent.
Right. And on top of that, on the Olympic team, there were 4 players from the University of North Carolina.
Wow.
Walter Davis, Tommy Ligard, Mitch Kupchak, and myself. 3 more from the ACC, Steve Shepard from Maryland, Tate Armstrong from Duke, and Kenny Carr from NC State. So out of the 12 players on our team, 7 of us from the ACC. Mm. So Coach
That's
Smith
amazing.
Was getting a lot of grief about having so many Carolina and ACC players, and they were saying we weren't experienced enough to win at that time. Weren't big enough, weren't tough enough, but we did wind up winning a gold medal. And to me, that was very important for us to continue our domination in basketball.
Well, of all the things that you've experienced as an athlete, where does that rank?
The older I get, it ranks extremely high. You know, just to be standing there on the podium with the national anthem playing,
oh my
the
goodness.
Flag being raised. You know, it was, and especially with so many people, nobody gave us a chance to win. You know, and it means a lot to me, the older I get.
Yeah, just amazing. And then what about the transition to the NBA? When we come back on the other side of the break, we'll start getting into your testimony. But
okay.
That's a big
you know,
move.
I think that's when you really realize how there are a lot of guys in North Korea, a lot of guys in the United States and at that time that can play basketball. You know, in college you may go against a great, great, great player maybe once a week or once every 2 weeks. But in the NBA, every night you're going against a great, great player. I remember this one guy who my pro coach Cotton Fitzsimmons at the time was telling me about how good he is, and I never heard of the guy. And I played against a lot of the guys I had heard of and did pretty good against them. So, you know, I'm kind of thinking to myself, I never heard of this guy. Well, he gave me 20 each half. He got 40.
Oh, man. So,
right then I knew this league is different. I never heard of the guy.
And now you got the best of the best of the best.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like Gideon is the least of the least of the least. The NBA is the best of the best of the best. And when we come back, we'll unpack, let Phil share a little bit about his testimony. We'll get Jay back into the conversation. Talk about Triangle. Christian Athletes TCA, which is awesome. Triangle, what did I just say? Triangle FCA. I'm still sick. I'm still trying to recover. God help me. TriangleFCA.org/fall banquet coming next week. This is Steve Noble.
So if you're happy in your stuff, and if 10% enough,
back at Steve Noble, trendsetter. I stepped on my own headphone cord, and then Phil's doing it, so now we're just waiting for Jay to step on his headphone cord so that we can have all kinds of fun with the technical aspects of the show today. Welcome back. It is Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking about Triangle FCA, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. It's been around since 1954, just a prolific impact, not just around the country, but around the world as well. And so if you have students, especially if you're here in the Triangle area of North Carolina, but around the country, your high school students, your junior high school, middle school students may be very well familiar with FCA already, but they've got their big fall banquet here in the Triangle, which is massive. How many students are involved with FCA here in the Triangle?
Monthly, there is probably about 3,000.
Wow. 3,000. Yeah, that's 30, awesome. Yeah. Just an awesome field there that is ripe into harvest. And a lot of these kids are coming. They're not necessarily Christians. And then we were just talking off the air. There's a whole lot of people that think they're Christians that aren't. They don't really know the gospel. Hey, I believe in God. Jesus is just all right with me. Just like the Doobie Brothers song. I really dig Easter and Christmas. Yep. That's cool. And do you think if you died today, would you go to heaven?
Yeah.
I don't know. I hope so. I think so. But the scripture says you can know so. So,
yeah.
But there's all kinds of great things that God is doing at FCA. So next Tuesday, November 12th here in Raleigh, 6:30 p.m. at the Expo Building at the NC State Fairgrounds is the annual fall event. And Phil Ford is here. He's just a legendary basketball player and coach from UNC Chapel Hill, as well as playing in the NBA. He's going to be sharing his testimony. He's going to be the keynote speaker next Tuesday. You can sign up if you want to be a table host. Can they still be a table host if they want to do that?
You can still be a table host.
They can still do that. Great Carolina barbecue.
Absolutely.
And a whole lot of it.
Absolutely.
It's like the whole place is like this barbecue manna thing falling down all over the place.
And mashed potatoes.
And mashed potatoes. It's a great night. A lot of fun. It's a great energy in the room because there's over 1,000 people there. So you just need to go to trianglefca.org/fall banquet. And you can, if you don't want to be a table host, you can still register. There's just somebody you email there. It's nice and simple. trianglefca.org/fall banquet next Tuesday, November 12th, 6:30 p.m. at the State Fairgrounds. And we're talking to Phil Ford. And Phil, so We've been talking a lot off the air, but kind of spiritual versus religious. So I'm going to turn the corner and talk about that a little bit. How did you grow up in terms of the church and
religious
faith? Just religious.
I probably went to church on Christmas and Easter. And
a CEO, Christmas right. and Easter only.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, but I said prayers. But I I would call it more religious than spiritual where I am now.
Yeah.
You know, of actually having a relationship with Jesus Christ and, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, beating on you sometimes, you know, decisions. So,
like a good coach.
Yeah, but I grew up more religious than spiritual.
Now, I just want to ask Jay right quick. And you run into that a lot with FCA, with all these young men and women.
We do, yeah. I mean, our huddle is comprised, anyone's welcome. So students are inviting their peers, and every year at camp and every year in huddles, we have students that realize, wait, I've just been going through the motions.
Yeah.
I've been doing what my parents said, because my parents said to do it. I've not actually made a decision to follow Jesus myself. Right. And so we have the opportunity then to walk them through, what does it really look like for you to follow Christ, to give your life to him, to be a disciple, to make that faith your own and not your parents, right? God has no grandkids, right?
That's right. You're not getting anybody in on anybody's coattails.
That's right.
Well, I think so many people think that you can act your way into.
You know, that was
a great way of saying it.
That was me.
You know, as we all know, you know, you try to act your way into heaven, you can never act good enough.
Yes. That's right.
So it's just by grace through Jesus Christ that we get to heaven. Right.
Were there times in your life, Phil, where it kind of came and went? Where, depending on what was going on, you were more interested in church and then not?
I have never really had both feet in the circle as I do now.
Yeah.
Because of some struggles I've had in my life and some support groups depend on a higher power. But until I really put both feet in the circle and completely turned my life over to Jesus Christ, I don't have that struggle anymore.
Well, it's a great way of putting it, to put both your feet in the circle. Because I'm a word picture guy, and I'm thinking, hey, Phil, you're in, and you put one foot on the court and the other foot's out.
Right.
You're not in.
Right, exactly.
Earlier, you made the analogy about the student who you were trying to get to trust his right hand, right? His left hand. It's one thing to use the right hand. It's another thing to trust it.
Right,
it's
exactly.
One thing to use the Lord, to use the things. Right. It's another thing to trust him entirely.
Yeah, exactly.
So what began to change? It sounds like it was really not that long ago.
When we were all released in 2011 as a coach down at with the Charlotte Hornets, and I moved back to Durham. And at that time, as I said, I'd always been religious, and Coach Smith, you know, kind of planted that seed in me. And I think that's what we have to do as Christians. You know, it's not our job to completely change someone or turn someone. Our job is to plant that seed, and hopefully God and the Holy Spirit would do the work. And when I moved back to Durham, I had a lot of free time on my hands, so I went to church every day, and that's the grace of God, you know, putting that thought and those actions in me, wanting to do that. You know, I went to church every Sunday, went to Sunday school, went to men's meeting, went to Bible study, and more and the more that I went and kind of just got in the Word of God and got in the Word of Jesus, you know, it just started to build up in me more and more, and my gratefulness just started to build about how God has worked in my life and how he's actually been with me through thick and thin through all my life. And I put myself in so many bad situations that could have gone a lot more left than they did.
Yeah.
And because of him, that's the only way I can think of it, that it wasn't worse. And the more that I've gone, and, you know, now I attend Calvary Chapel over in Apex. And
you know, Rodney Finch.
That's my man. Yeah.
He's a friend of mine.
Oh, really? No way. Yeah. Good people.
Yeah.
I call him Bruno Mars.
Oh, thank you for that weapon. I appreciate that. I will definitely use that to my advantage. I appreciate that. Well, I've been around the Calvary Chapel guys. I've worked with Greg Laurie and the Harvest guys for years.
Yeah.
And actually, it was in Israel with the Calvary Chapel guy.
That's the first church that I've ever been to that is verse by verse teaching.
Yeah.
You know, we take notes in church, and it's been great for me because at this point of my spirituality, that's helping me a whole lot.
Was there somebody, going back to when you came back to Durham, Phil, was there somebody that invited you, or did the Lord just start moving on you?
I just started going to church a whole lot because I had a lot more opportunity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at that time, Coach Smith was kind of getting sick, and, you know, he wasn't there for me to go to and talk to a whole lot about things, and my dad had passed. And so, you know, I just started going to church just a lot more and more, and I just realized, you know, just how, you know, grateful that I am and how much grace has been upon my life.
Yeah. Well, you kind of, and I think that's true for a lot of us. It was certainly true for me. You kind of go from this general belief in God. You talk about God, you know, Bible, okay. Christianity, yeah, okay. But once you know that you've got both feet in the circle, when all of a sudden Jesus is your Lord and Savior.
Oh, yeah.
And it's about Christ. Everybody can say, God bless you and have a nice day. God bless you. But you drop the J-bomb. It's kind of like dropping the F-bomb. Yeah, I drop the F-bomb out in public and nobody really is going to think much about it. But I drop the J-bomb anywhere. You start talking about Jesus and the atmosphere always changes because that's where the power is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's when when you have a soft heart.
Yeah.
You know, when you can conduct yourself in a way that it doesn't bother you and you know that it's wrong and it doesn't bother you, you should really start worrying a little bit.
That's
you
right.
know, because when Jesus doesn't have his hand on you, that's a tough way
You're
to be.
You're in a bad spot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I have a brother in Christ that says, man, I'm really struggling. I always say, well, let's stop and praise the Lord right now.
Exactly.
Because the fact that you're struggling is good news.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Jay, how important is it for older accomplished athletes like Phil to speak into the lives of younger athletes and younger people about faith as well as the realities of being an athlete?
Yeah, it's so huge. We use the word influence quite a bit in our ministry. And Phil's own testimonies he shared today, he talked about the influence that Coach Smith had in his life in one way or the other. And so the coach influences the athlete. The athlete influences other athletes that are behind them on that path. And so, you know, we know that Paul talks about how he's using the weak to shame the strong, right? And the foolish to shame the wise. So we don't put all of our stock in the fact that Phil was a really very accomplished basketball player, right? Because he can use a guy like me that got cut from his sixth grade middle school basketball team, right? I'm not bitter or anything.
Do you want to talk about it?
A moment.
Do you need a moment?
Camera.
Cut the camera.
So we don't put all of our stock in the celebrity side of things, but we do say, you know what? He's been to a place that very few people have been. He's been to a place where these students, they have certain ideas about what that place is like.
Yeah, I'll share that.
And he can sort of pull the curtain back a little bit and say, you know what? You might think it looks like this. Here's the reality of what this is. Here's what it can do. And here's what it can't do, because a lot of times these athletes, they're putting everything in that. And just like any other idol, that thing's going to fail you.
Yeah, so it can't withstand the weight of your worship,
That's
ultimately.
Right.
Exactly.
That's right. So a guy who's been there and experienced that can speak to those young athletes where they are and just help them understand what the role of that position is and the
Amen.
Gift that it is from the Lord.
Well, I'm going to talk about that some more when we come back, and it'll be our last segment. We're talking to Mr. Phil Ford, who's just a legendary basketball player, Chapel Hill, as well as the NBA coaching and all of that, as well as Jay Viverka, who's the Triangle Metro Area Director of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. We'll talk about it. What can we do for our student athletes? Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Having a great time today talking to our good friend Jay Viverka from FCA here in the Triangle area of North Carolina, Triangle Metro Area Director, Fellowship of Christian Athletes. They've got their big fall festival next Tuesday here in town at the fairgrounds, November 12th, 6:30 p.m. All you need to do to get in on that, which I would strongly encourage you to do, trianglefca.org/fallbanquet, trianglefca.org/fallbanquet. If you want to look on Facebook Live today, we've got that in there. Hey, do you know Coach Bill Lamb?
Of course.
He's just jumped in on Facebook Live. I see him on Friday mornings. What do you it's just between the two of us. What do you think of Coach Bill? Just
great
between
man.
The two of us.
Why are you
winking at me?
He's one of my best friends. You know, his office was right next to Coach Smith's office.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and he used to always kid people anytime we had to go in to see Coach Smith. We go to his office first to get fired up. Then
get a little pre-meeting counseling.
But he's been a friend of mine ever since I was a freshman at Caroline. He's a great guy. Yeah.
And a similar story in terms of his faith journey.
Oh yeah,
and coming to this
late,
mm-hmm. getting to both feet in the circle late in life.
Right.
And so speak to people and those of us that have friends or family members, maybe it's a spouse that are up in years, you know, 50, 60, whatever. Is it ever too late, Phil?
Never, never. I don't think, and I'm not a scholar, you know, of spirituality and the Bible as some people, but I think you can always go to Jesus Christ and ask him to be your Savior, even if you're on your deathbed, you can always. But the problem to me gets in there when people tell themselves, I've always got more time because life is so short.
That's right.
And you just don't know when your time is going to be up. So, you know, when you have that when you have that desire to change your life, I think that you should do it and not say I'm going to put it off because you just don't know.
Today's a day of salvation.
That's right. And as James said, your life is like a mist. It's here for a moment, then it's gone.
Well, you think about it. Now, somebody told me that a minister told them one time when they go to the beach, you know, take a tablespoon and would dip out some of the ocean. And that water that's in the tablespoon is your life here on earth, and the rest of the water is eternity.
I love that, man.
It's pretty. Eternity is a long time.
It's a long time.
Yeah,
that's right. And you do run out of time.
Yeah.
Now, we know that even a dead man's not too far gone for the Lord.
Right.
That's a rare occasion. Don't be banking your future on him resurrecting you and giving you another chance at life, because it's appointed that men that die once and then face the judgment. That's true for all of us, whether you're young or old. All right, I got to do this just because I got to be nice to my buddy Sean on Facebook Live. Hey, Steve, ask Phil if he thinks Adrian Dantley from the Mavs was the most underrated player of our time.
AD was very underrated. We were teammates on the United States Olympic team, and he could score on anyone. He was very undersized, but long arms. We used to call him suction cup hands because if you got the ball, he could catch anything.
Anything.
When you're feeding the post.
Mm.
And,
wow.
You know, he was a great, great scorer. He was a fun teammate.
So, but Sean here is kind of leaning into the word most. The most underrated player of all time. That's a pretty large statement, I would think.
Yeah, but I guess he would definitely go into that category as being underrated.
Yeah.
Now, you know, some of us think he's a great, great player, but he, you know, I guess you could say he was underrated.
Significantly. Mm. All right, Sean, you owe me for that one. Okay, so just general advice from both of you guys, Phil, as the player at the highest levels that you can be. Olympic gold medal winner, NBA, playing at UNC Chapel Hill. What's your advice, both of you guys, to parents of, to grandparents of these young men and women who are athletes, and let's say that they do know the Lord? Because that's a unique opportunity. It's a unique platform to reach people.
Well, what I think, if they know the Lord and they're spiritual, I think they're very humble, and they realize that if you are a parent, it's not about you. It's about your child having a good time. And sometimes when you see parents yelling and screaming at their elementary school kids and junior high kids, you know, it's fun. You know, you just want them to have fun at that age. You know, very seldom is the best eighth grader, the best seventh grader, the best eighth grader, the best eighth grader, the very best ninth grader. That doesn't happen very often unless you are a prodigy. You know, you're born with that gift, which I call it a gift from God. Now, you got to work on that gift.
Sure, yeah.
You know, but so, you know, you just want them to have a good time. And if they enjoy the sport and if they have that gift, it'll kick in. But, you know, sometimes you've got people that could practice 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they're not going to be as good as
LeBron. You're trying to put a square peg in a round hole and both things get injured.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's important.
Time,
that I think there's – this is a general observation, having been around some athletes, and our son played basketball for years, is that I think it seems like far too many parents are tearing their kids down when they should be building them up.
Exactly, exactly. You know, I mean, they may not be on a good team, but, you know, are you having a good time? Are you enjoying yourself playing? So, and, you know, everybody's not going to be LeBron or MJ.
That's right.
You know, but hopefully they were.
Well, nobody's ever going to be MJ. Let me just clarify.
No, learn how to be a good teammate. Learn how to be a good friend.
Yeah,
you know,
because there's a lot of crossover as you've come to a real serious point in your faith later in life. Do you look back and kind of see the confluence of athletics and Christianity? Because Paul certainly talked about it a lot.
I can see a little bit of it, especially when it comes to the humility and the teamwork.
Yeah,
you know, helping up your Christian brothers when they're down. And it's just some things. There's some similarities there.
Amen. Yeah. Now, what about ministering into that world, Jay?
Well, so many of the questions we deal with have to do with identity, right?
Oh,
so many athletes find their identity in whether they had a good game or a bad game, whether they had a good season or not a good season, whether they're getting interest from colleges or not. So for parents, they need to make sure their identity is secure in Christ, so they're not trying to find their identity in their kids' success.
Oh, man,
right? That's a whole separate show. For students, it's where are my hopes and dreams lying? Does it lie in this projected version of who I think I am, or is it who God has made me to be? Am I content in a healthy way, not complacent, but content with who God's made me to be. And then am I willing to, out of that identity, live out my faith in a faithful way in that arena, understanding that basketball or whatever sport it is, it's a gift,
yeah.
Right? We need to enjoy it for what it is, but it's a gift. And so when you can enjoy it for what it is, there's so many athletes that have done this well. I mean, Dabo talks about this. Hunter Renfro has taught, you know, those Clemson guys, they've done a really good job of just saying, this is where my identity is. I want to excel at this, yeah. Because I want to do things with excellence. But my identity is not wrapped up in whether or not we have a W or an L, right? So speaking into that, making sure kids understand, listen, when you're in Christ, you're in Christ. And there's no greater identity than
that's
that.
Right.
And
that's
so
right.
Let's hold fast to that. And then out of that, let's live faithfully for him.
Because that's the counter athletic message.
You know, I think Coach Smith, and I can't remember the exact quote, he said something like, if you make every game a life and death situation is not very good, because one thing, you're going to die a lot.
Yeah.
So, yeah. There you go.
What a great word, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you hitching your horse to in the
yeah.
first place?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That's so important. And you mentioned identity. That's one of the biggest things that young people struggle with today.
That's right.
That's why social media is such a pull. If I just get this many likes, yeah. if I just get this many friends, if I get this many followers, then I'll be satisfied. Yeah.
Whether it's true or not.
That's right, whether it's true or not.
Yeah.
And none of it satisfies. How important is next Tuesday? Why do you guys do this, Jay?
We do this because we really do believe that that students, that coaches and athletes have something worth sharing. Hmm. And FCA is a vehicle. It's not the only vehicle, but it's a vehicle and a really great one to equip and empower these students, these coaches, with the gospel right where they are. So many folks in our churches, they check out of their faith at the most important times, right? In those arenas where God has already placed them to be a witness. And so we want to come alongside them and just simply be a reminder, hey, this is where God has placed you. And we can't do that without the funding. It's obviously a fundraiser. So
sure.
It supports all of our staff in the area. It supports our resources. We gave away over 1,000 Bibles last year.
Wow.
And so everything we're doing is to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ through the platform of sport. And we can't do it without those who, boy, maybe there's a businessman down the street that can't get to that team and be involved in that huddle. But God has given him the ability to write a check.
Sure.
and to hold the ropes for us as we go in and do that. And we really do count them as teammates. We refer to them as teammates.
Yeah.
Every month when we communicate with them, we refer to them as teammates. So we do it to advance the gospel. We do it really to celebrate. It's kind of like a family reunion. If you've ever been and you've seen friends there, it's one of my favorite nights of the year. Just be around one another.
Oh, that's so encouraging.
And celebrate what God's done.
Yeah.
So,
but you guys do an excellent job of that. Go ahead, Phil.
And you know, it's an honor for me to have been asked to talk a little bit about my life and a little bit about my spirituality. And, you know, I don't have all the answers, but I can tell you what happened to me. And this is where I am now. And, you know, maybe some kids can, you know, relate to that. But even if some kids don't relate to that, maybe I'm planting that seed that Coach Smith planted
right.
in me a
yeah.
while back. So I'm honored to have been
Yeah, because that was a seed that was planted decades ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it isn't amazing how yeah. it took time,
yeah.
but it sure did bloom.
Yeah, I'm glad it did.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, and then we have to trust that and know, because we know what God's will is. It's not that Phil should perish, that Phil should go to be
he
with the Lord
me.
Forever. He
mm-hmm.
loves you.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly right. Jay, invite people one more time to come out next Tuesday, and how can they get involved?
Yeah, next Tuesday, November 12th, 6:30 p.m., the Expo building down at the fairgrounds. Phil will be there. I'll be there. Johnny Evans, who's our Eastern North Carolina director, many of you know him, will be there. And we're going to take the time to celebrate. We're going to hear
name
some
sounds
stories.
Familiar, Johnny
yeah,
Evans.
Johnny Evans. We're going to take the time with some stories to celebrate what God's done and look forward to the year ahead and what God continues to do through FCA.
And you'll hear all the things that Phil refused to share today.
That's right.
He'll share all that.
TriangleFCA.org/fallbanquet.
TriangleFCA.org/fallbanquet is the way you want to go. Next Tuesday, November 12th here in Raleigh, 6:30 p.m., the Expo building at the State Fairgrounds. Phil, God bless you, brother. Thanks for coming in.
Thank
today.
You.
You're very welcome. And Jay? It's good to see you.
Thank you for having me
You're
on.
You're very welcome.
Brother.
We'll
Appreciate
do it again.
You.
This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. We will be back tomorrow. I've got Abby Johnson with me on the phone tomorrow. But Abby Johnson, if you saw the movie Unplanned, an incredible pro-life story she's going to be sharing tomorrow. So we look forward to that. And God willing, I'll talk to you then. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.